groundbreaking new series that goes behind the scenes with Hendrick Motorsports. Road to Race Day is now streaming on go90.show/MRN. That's go90.show/MRN.
Ingenuity Sun Media, or ISM, has acquired the naming rights of Phoenix Raceway in Arizona. The track, now known as ISM Raceway, is also undergoing a modernization, which will see a redesigned infield becoming more fan-friendly, along with new garages for race teams and a pedestrian tunnel connecting the grandstands to the infield. An exciting announcement that comes at a good time, according to track president Brian Sperber.
That syncs up with the launch of our brand new venue, which is under construction and will be completed in 2018. So everything kind of synced up to be able to make this announcement. And it's really a great day for our fans and for our community.
This fall's NASCAR race weekend at ISM Raceway is set for November 10th through the 12th. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back in. It is 6:05, hour number three of the Todd Bromelkamp Show underway. Twins baseball on the way for you tonight. We'll join the game in progress on 107.5 FM at 7 o'clock. 106.3 FM, that's our South Gym in Iowa City, 1600 AM, the main gym frequency heard all across eastern Iowa. Three frequencies, one show. The Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann. Glad to have you with us tonight. We appreciate you putting up with topics that you may or may not feel comfortable listening and topics that we may or may not be comfortable addressing. But sooner or later, we get back to something that you want to sink your teeth into, and hopefully we've stumbled upon one of those subjects here in hour number three of the program. I mentioned Bruce Pearl's name heading into the last break. And for those people who may not be aware, and I don't necessarily think that this is hyperbole, but some people are calling what happened earlier this morning the biggest story in college basketball history. You have the FBI investigating for 3 months the involvement of assistant men's basketball coaches, shoe company representatives, AAU coaches, basically representatives of players and their families. And at the end of the day, four assistant coaches are heading to jail, got arrested over this. Now, they still would have to stand trial. One of them is former NBA standout Chuck Person, who is an assistant coach at Auburn, where, unfortunately, former Hawkeye Matt Gatens is, I believe, still a graduate assistant on Bruce Pearl's coaching staff. And hopefully his young coaching career isn't tainted by anything that happens at Auburn. But right now it's assistant coaches. And to no one's surprise, Louisville's Rick Pitino has released a statement. Louisville, also one of the four schools involved. The very first line of the statement says, basically, is it Inspector Renaud from Casablanca? I am shocked that there is gambling going on here. Your winnings, Inspector. He is shocked. Can't believe he had no knowledge of this whatsoever.
How dumb does he think we are?
Pretty dumb. Now, I don't know whether Bruce Pearl has released a statement at Auburn or not yet, but the question is, does Bruce Pearl survive this? 319-366-1600. It's a little out of character for me to speculate on this before all of the facts come to light, but Bruce Pearl is a guy who, if you mention his name in this part of the woods, you're probably going to get a different reaction than if you bring him up in, say, Champaign, Illinois, or Knoxville, Tennessee, or some of the other places that his coaching career has taken him. He was a longtime lieutenant to Tom Davis in Iowa City with the Hawkeyes, a very popular, young, up-and-coming assistant coach who in the mid to late 80s got entangled in a recruiting scandal involving the University of Illinois and Deion Thomas, in which he snitched to the NCAA over Thomas's recruitment, and that he was given a Chevy Blazer, and Jimmy Collins, who was an assistant on Lou Henson's coaching staff, they got into a war of words. It was ugly. Dick Vitale at the time said Bruce Pearl committed career suicide. This is in 1992, I think, when Bruce Pearl leaves the University of Iowa and goes to Division II Southern Indiana. And that's how bad his career was hit by the nobody wanted to work with him. He was a snitch. He had ratted out, which is ironic because now the FBI has a text line or a phone line for people to call in for with information on this investigation. But back then, it was a different culture. Let's put it that way in college basketball. So Pearl goes to Division II Southern Indiana. Career suicide. That's what the Division II level, that was the best job that Bruce Pearl could get. And what he does is he hits the ground running there, and he gets the students to show up, and he gets boosters to buy in, and the next thing you know, they're winning basketball games at Southern Indiana. And Bruce Pearl surfaces at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and he is successful at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And then the next stop for Bruce Pearl along the way is Knoxville, Tennessee. And that's where we once again see Bruce Pearl run into problems with the NCAA. There were violations. He had a barbecue with some players over at his house. He says it's a misunderstanding. The NCAA gives him a 3-year show cause penalty, which means couldn't coach for 3 years. He waits out the show cause penalty, and because he is such a successful basketball coach and what an amazing personality, I wish that I had the charisma. I wish I had 1/10 of the charisma of Bruce Pearl. If you've ever met the man, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about seeing him on TV because that's one thing. But if you've ever met him and had a conversation with him, whoa, boy, this guy is good. He can make you feel like you've been best friends with him for a million years, and it's the first time you ever met him. I wish I possessed that trait.
Could he sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves?
Yes, he could. And then he could sell her a second one. And then he could probably sell her the cleaning agent that she would need for the popsicle stains and convince her that it was anybody's fault but his. And so 3 years comes and goes, and Bruce Pearl is hired at Auburn, a football school, not necessarily a basketball powerhouse. And he goes about trying to reestablish himself in the coaching circles and trying to prove everybody that he was wronged at Tennessee and that he still got it. And then today, Chuck Person is one of the four assistants that is arrested in this major, massive scandal, which the FBI spent 3 months investigating. And it's virtually impossible for me to sit here and look at that and say Bruce Pearl didn't know what was going on and comes out of this surviving somehow. Now, that being said, we've seen coaches resurrect themselves time and time and time again. Bobby Petrino at Louisville, great case. Rick Pitino, who is, again, wrapped up in this, survived a scandal in which an assistant coach procured ladies of the evening for underage recruits.
He survived.
He's still coaching their basketball team. That's how hard it is in the world of college basketball, men's Division I college basketball, to kill your own career.
let me read off some of the charges brought against these coaches. Money laundering, wire fraud.
This is
mail
Rico,
fraud.
This is RICO stuff. This is Sopranos level stuff.
Accepting bribes. I don't understand how any of these coaches, any of these head coaches, can survive this. And I'm sure there is some of them will. Sean Miller at Arizona will survive, probably. Andy Enfield at USC, we'll see. I don't know. But the guys with priors, like Rick Pitino,
it's a great way to put it.
Who just released a statement, and it completely distracted me in that last half hour of the show. I'll put that out there right now because of how absurd it is. And Bruce Pearl, how in the world can they get another coaching job after this? Because Todd, I think you bring up a great point.
Can we get that on a hotkey, Kyle? Okay, thanks.
The toilet paper in the John doesn't get changed. The brand of toilet paper in the John doesn't get changed without the approval of a head coach of a major basketball or football program. They know everything that is going on within their program, and you're telling me that on a basketball coaching staff where there are, what, three coaches? That one of these guys would go rogue enough to commit federal crimes and risk the entire future of this basketball program on their own? I'm going to ask this question one more time. How stupid do they think we are? And I'll answer it one more time. Apparently pretty stupid.
The idea that a head coach doesn't know what's going on with the recruitment of a 4 or 5 star player is beyond me. And especially one like at Louisville, Bowen, where Rick Pitino brags to a radio station how they didn't have to spend a dime as far as a recruiting trip to get him to their school. And it turns out that maybe what he really meant was it wasn't necessarily his money, but there was $100,000 that is getting tied back to the recruitment of this player to Louisville. And this is just the beginning. Today is just the beginning. So much so that the NCAA itself was unaware that the FBI was spending 3 months investigating this. And now the NCAA is saying, look, yeah, we'll cooperate here. We're unaware of it. We're completely caught off guard. They're just hoping to survive this. Let's go to the phone lines. 319-366-1600. Gary in Iowa City leads off today. Gary, what's up?
Hey, I just was going to chime in with Bruce Pearl. He was quite the personality. I was going to the Iowa basketball games back in the day. I think it was the late 80s, actually, when he snitched on Illinois and Deion Thomas. And that was quite the time because, you know, that was just part of why Illinois and Iowa hate each other so much, especially in basketball. But the student section, which I was not a part of at that time, started chanting when we were kicking Illinois' tail on a cold winter night here, start the blazer, start the blazer. And it was hilarious. Even the old parts in the sleepy seats were laughing and standing up and clapping at the student section. It was the best. So anyway, that was just my little story. And we all knew that Bruce was maybe just a little on the slippery side. Everybody knew it. So good guy, but maybe he doesn't like to follow the rules. That's my input.
You know what? I think that I appreciate the phone call,
Gary. I think
that's
a very good description of Bruce Pearl.
I know a guy who's really good friends with Bruce Pearl, and I haven't seen this guy in a long, long time. But we used to drink with him down in Iowa City, and he would tell stories about being friends with Bruce Pearl and hanging out. And one of my favorite stories is when Bruce Pearl was at Southern Indiana, this D2 school, he invites this guy and a couple of his other friends from Iowa City to make the trip to, I can't even remember what city Southern Indiana is located in. I'd say I couldn't remember what country either, because if you've ever been to southern Indiana, you sometimes don't feel like you're in the United States.
It's in Evansville, Indiana.
Evansville, Indiana. Okay. And he invites them to come to the game, and not only does he tells them, oh, you guys will have great seats. He brings a couch down from his office and puts it courtside.
Those are great seats.
And that's just, those are some of the gimmicks that he was doing in the D2 days. And I think a lot of people will remember, he goes to Knoxville, Tennessee, where the men's basketball program not only takes a back seat to football, but takes a back seat to women's basketball. Okay, he's number three. And what does he do? Where most coaches would complain. Remember Steve Alford when he was at Iowa complaining that Iowa was a football school and that the basketball program didn't get enough support? Bruce Pearl goes to a women's basketball game and paints his chest and is there shirtless, painted orange, front row, supporting Pat Summitt's team. And people in Knoxville just fell in love with this guy. And holy cow. He's winning games, and then, poof, it goes up in smoke because, well, there was an issue with the NCAA, and he sits
and maybe
out.
Maybe he lied about it.
And yeah, maybe.
Maybe he didn't quite tell the truth.
It's very rarely ever the crime, and it's almost always the cover-up that eventually leads to the trouble. And that's where the issue is. No, didn't happen. Hey, Bruce, there are pictures. Oh,
that. I forgot about that.
Now, someone on the text line says, I'm sure ESPN would take him back in a heartbeat. I'm sure they would,
question.
Too.
No question. And they will.
But do you think Bruce Pearl wants to be a TV commentator for the rest of his life, or do you think Bruce Pearl wants to be a basketball coach? Bruce Pearl wants to coach basketball.
Well, clearly, because wasn't he on ESPN for a short time?
Yeah, well, he couldn't do anything else because of the 3-year show cause.
So he was already on ESPN, and he decided that he wanted to go back to coaching so badly that he took over that Auburn basketball program.
Yeah, that wasn't, it's not the greatest job in the world.
The worst in the SEC by far.
Exactly, and the SEC isn't a basketball conference. I mean, that's where he was willing to go, but it was a Power 5 school, and he saw an opportunity there. And look, here's what I hope in all of this. I really hope that this doesn't have an adverse effect on Matt Gaetens' career. Like I said, former Hawkeye who's at Auburn as a graduate assistant, because some of this stuff has a tendency, no matter what role you played in a program, to completely taint your resume to the point where someone's going to look at that and go, Auburn, these years, Bruce Pearl. Yeah, tell me about that. You got some splaining to do. You go, well, I'm just a graduate assistant, completely innocent. But people involved in that program look like they were up to some bad. This is. And I didn't quite grasp it when I woke up and first read the story this morning. This is Sopranos level stuff here. You're talking about money laundering and bribery and terms that you don't normally associate with college basketball. And nobody comes out of this looking good. The schools, the assistant coaches, their bosses. You probably got some very upset or irate athletic directors today, would be my guess. And then you got the folks, including Mark Emmert, not the guy from the Des Moines Register, Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA. They have egg on their face because the FBI is arresting NCAA assistant coaches. The organization had no clue this investigation was going on. They look completely out of touch.
It completely exposed them as an organization that is not able to govern themselves, is not able to govern the teams and the coaches and the programs that are under them. That's what this does it not? Every time a situation will come up, there comes an investigation. Baylor, North Carolina, Louisville. Louisville was just under investigation, like you talked about, Todd, for providing escorts to underage recruits. And it took them years to decide what to do. And they still haven't ruled on Baylor or North Carolina. They gave a slap on the wrist to Louisville the first time. And the FBI comes in without their knowledge and says, basically, without saying anything, says, get out of our way. You're not doing this effectively. And I think the line that was used at the end of the FBI Assistant Director Bill Sweeney's speech today was the most ominous. Talking to college basketball and maybe college football recruiting tactics and recruiters out there. We have your playbook. Our investigation is ongoing. We are conducting additional interviews as we speak. So for those that are making fun of these four programs, just wait a little bit. Like you said, this is the tip of the iceberg. There are more, I think there are more programs coming down because of this.
5144 on the text line is throwing out the term failure of a lack of institutional control, which usually is one step below or ahead of the death penalty. When you talk about an institution not having control over what's going on, that is a sign that you have major problems. And again, you cannot just sit there and say, oh, it's an assistant coach. I didn't know what he was doing.
Can I read Rick Pitino's statement?
Rick, yeah. Look, because we don't have audio of it, because the written statement is the easiest form of public relations that you can get nowadays.
So Rick Pitino's lawyer, on Rick Pitino's behalf, released this statement. These allegations come as a complete shock to me. If true, I agree with the U.S. Attorney's Office that these third-party schemes initiated by a few bad actors operated to commit a fraud on impacted universities and their basketball programs, including the University of Louisville. Our fans and supporters deserve better, and I am committed to taking whatever steps are needed to ensure those responsible are held accountable.
That is a guy who survived his program providing hookers.
Because he used that defense.
To underage recruits.
And I thought to myself, well,
he survived it. He didn't lose his job. He's still coaching basketball there.
And he thought, you know what? I went to the well once with the rogue assistant coach defense. I'm going to go to it again.
You got a lot of rogue coaches working for you, man. Holy cow.
You got to fix your hiring process.
And the only thing here, and you mentioned it earlier, is that this is just the beginning, because the FBI is still looking. They have 3 months of interviews. They have 3 months of tapes, recordings, phone calls.
Hard evidence.
And they also have informants who are going to rat out anybody that they possibly can if it means getting a better deal for themselves.
And that's how this started, right?
Yes. It was a guy who got caught up in, I believe they initially were looking at him for money laundering, and he rolled and said, no, look, I got stuff I can tell you. And that's what got the ball rolling here. I just
can't believe he just doesn't care.
It's
he has no shame, Rick Pitino.
These are not small time programs. They're all successful name brand men's basketball programs. For the most, I mean, Auburn is no great shakes, but it's a Power Five school. USC bringing in Andy Enfield from Florida Gulf Coast several years ago.
We forgot to mention Oklahoma State as well.
Oklahoma State is the fourth school involved here.
And Louisville was the school that wasn't named but was mentioned, and the guy said you can Google it and figure out who it is.
Now, I'm glad you brought up Oklahoma State, because I didn't really think about this earlier today, but Brad Underwood was there for 1 year. and skipped town.
That is a really interesting.
That was over. That was over. Well, the official party line was that was over pay.
Mm-hmm.
That Oklahoma State was refusing to raise his pay, and so Illinois came and offered him a better deal. Maybe he didn't like some of the things he was seeing in that athletic department and got out of Dodge. I don't know. That's extremely irresponsible to say. But I just thought of that now.
The coach who was...
Travis Ford was there.
He was. But
and
the,
then
the
Underwood. I always want to say Underhill because of Fletch.
Lamont Evans was the coach at Oklahoma State who was arrested. And he was there last year under Brad Underwood. And he was retained by the new coach.
I'd like to sit here and say that I'm surprised. I'm not. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the NCAA's reaction to this is, what the school's reactions are. And I think the bigger question here, and it's above my pay grade, what does this mean for college basketball? Because there's some other people out there today that have said, look, this could be the best thing to happen to college basketball. That this is going to force the entire system to reform. The AAU circuit, the shoe company money, it's all going to come under the microscope and it's all going to have to be looked at, and this is going to clean... Look, it's not going to happen. Look at the AAU culture in this day and age. It is so rooted, deep-rooted in basketball. You're not going to cut that out. And the shoe money. Somebody on the text line says, how smart does LeVar Ball look right now for keeping his kids out of that whole scene? Out of the shoe company side of things. Well, I don't think that's why he did it. He wants the money for himself. He didn't want to share it with Nike or Adidas or any of the other companies. But if you want to give him credit for it, I guess, yeah, he comes out of this looking like he's some sort of mastermind, when really he got lucky. His own greed probably saved his son from getting rolled up in this. Now, the other important thing here is Adidas is the shoe company involved. But if you are at, say, a shoe company with deep ties to the Pacific Northwest or another shoe company, maybe you're a little nervous too, because chances are your guys haven't necessarily been above board. Because if one of your competitors is doing something and it's working for them, it's successful for them, chances are you're not just sitting idly by and not trying to either make a counter move or do something in a similar vein. As I said, this could be just the beginning. This could completely blow up college basketball. Or this could blow over, the NCAA will still exist, coaches will go on, programs will go on, they'll get new coaches, and then 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, we can all sit here and we can be shocked again. Because today, everybody is saying, this is the biggest NCAA scandal since Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky. What's to say 5 years from now, somebody isn't sitting on this stool, Kyle Mann, Alex Kuhn, saying, this is the biggest NCAA scandal since the corruption charges?
I think one of the questions that was brought up today as well, and it was brought up by Pat 40 of Yahoo, does Louisville deserve the death penalty? Does that basketball program, have they done enough over the past 3 years, 4 years to warrant their program being shut down like the SMU football team was in the 80s. I'm going to say, and I've heard people say that the death penalty will never be handed out again.
But crippled SMU.
It did, but do they deserve it?
When you look at the totality here, and the fact, The basketball program provided hookers to underage young men, and it wasn't even a major scandal. The head coach survived it. And here we are, what, 2 years later? Less than 2 years later?
Less than 2 years later.
And now he suddenly has another rogue assistant.
Well, he was going to be serving that suspension, and he will be serving that suspension this year.
The suspension? I mean, that's nothing.
What was it for the first five to seven games of the ACC season? And that was that got a reaction out of him that this made him lose complete faith in the NCAA, who basically gave him a slap on the wrist for the crime that he actually committed.
It's the old Jerry Tarkanian quote, and I'm going to butcher it because I'm going to miss the schools up. But Jerry Tarkanian, the NCAA is so mad at Kentucky that Cleveland State is going to get put on probation. The funny thing is, I think back on Jerry Tarkanian 25 years ago, and he seemed like such a snake, but good God, at least he was honest about who he was and what was going on with his program for the most part. And he was also really honest about the organization that governs college basketball.
Do you think he was happy that the FBI didn't go snooping into his transgressions? Because the NCAA could never get anything on him. They were always trying, but they never could.
The towel. Shark. Yep, NCAA, oh boy, Cleveland State is in trouble again. 6:35, we're really running behind today because we got to get another big board update, and we got two more big board updates to get into today and a couple other things. So we'll step aside and take a quick break. Keep the texts coming on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. Kyle joins us next to bring you your next Midwest One Bank big board update.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-342-4000. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-342-4301 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-342-4301 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-342-4301.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
In and out, and I'm not talking about hamburgers. Here's Kyle Mann with the next Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named the Big Ten Co-Defensive Player of the Week yesterday for his performance against Penn State last weekend and continued to garner recognition today as he was named the Chuck Bednarik Award Player of the Week, awarded to the nation's best defensive player, as well as the Bronco Nagurski National Defensive Player of the Week. Jewell tied a career high with 16 tackles, 11 of which were solo and 3 for a loss, along with an interception and fumble recovery. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell delivered some encouraging injury news as he reported that starting defensive backs Kamari Cotton-Moya and DeAndre Payne, as well as defensive lineman Jamal Johnson, have all made good progress over the Cyclones' bye week. Iowa State plays on Thursday this week, but all three players will be close to playing. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings were released today, and there weren't many changes. West Des Moines Dowling stays at the top of Class 4A with Iowa City West 2nd, Cedar Falls 7th, and Cedar Rapids Prairie 10th. Cedar Rapids Xavier is number 1 in Class 3A, and Solon is 3rd. Williamsburg, the top-ranked team in Class 2A with Mount Vernon 3rd, and in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina is 3rd. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Minnesota Twins. They try to hold on to their wild card lead down the stretch of the season. They'll have Bartolo Colon on the mound facing Josh Tomlin and the Indians in Cleveland. That game will start shortly after 6. It already started. I should have a score for you. And we'll join it in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Well, yep. I will step aside and take a quick break. We come back more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way after this.
We've reached it. The point where the only way to make Tuesdays any better is by having more boneless wings. That's why here at Buffalo Wild Wings, we've invented Boneless Tuesdays. It's a celebration where if you order boneless wings at full price, you'll get another of the same size for free. This works for dine-in or takeout. Every little bit counts. And on Tuesdays, every boneless wing counts as two. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Prices and participation vary. Valid only on Tuesdays while supplies last. Tax and gratuity extra. Additional restrictions apply. See participating location for details.
It's Boost's Fall Flip Event. Join Boost Mobile, and when you add a line, get a free phone in your first month free. All powered by the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide Network. Boost is the best value in wireless among national prepaid carriers. Visit a Boost Mobile store from 9/22 through 30. When you add a line, get your first month free and a free phone. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save. Offer valid 9/22/17 through 9/30/17. Primary line must be on a $50 plan. Free month credit is $50 to apply to activation. Free phone available for new lines added to the family plan and activated on a $50 plan. Select models only while supplies last. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. See participating dealer for details.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen. I really need to change my oil.
We have 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional or high mileage, now only $21.99.
Well, my Camry's got about 82,000 miles.
Well, Castrol high mileage is formulated for vehicles with over 75,000 miles.
Sounds good.
Now at Advance Auto Parts, 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional or high mileage motor oil are just $21.99. Also at participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores. See store for details.
Welcome back. It is 6:41, and boy, time flies when you're having fun. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. And yes, 107.5 FM listeners, you will get Minnesota Twins baseball tonight. The Twins looking very, very good for that second wild card in the American League. Unfortunately, they would have to go back to the Bronx and face the Yankees, a team which has had their number not just this year, but for quite a while. They're in the bottom of the second inning in Cleveland. That game is tied up at 2 apiece. The Cubs and the Cardinals meeting again tonight. Game 2 of that series. It's a 4-game series, but the Cubs' magic number is 1 tonight, which means if they win, or if they were to lose to the Cardinals, but the Brewers lose to Cincinnati, then the division is the Cubs for the second year in a row. It would be their third postseason appearance. Remember, in 2015, they shocked the baseball world by not only getting to the wild card game, but then beating the Pirates and advancing. I ask you, as a Cardinals fan, do they get the job done tonight? Because the Cardinals still are, I would like to think that they're still fighting, that they have not packed it in. They're 2.5 games behind the Colorado Rockies for the second wild card. Now, Milwaukee is also hanging around in the hunt as well. It was just, the division races are all but sewed up at this point, but the wild cards are still out there. Are the Cardinals playing for the wild card right now, or are they just sort of seemingly going through the motions?
Oh, no, there's no question that they're playing hard.
It's a long shot, I guess, is what I'm
It is.
And they know that.
And they've lost 3 in a row after winning 4 in a row. They lost 3 in a row to two games of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and then continued their woes against the Chicago Cubs. They're just, they are what they are, which is around a 500 team, and a lot of changes need to be made if this team wants to compete in 2018. So I don't think they've quit. I just don't think that they're that good at this point.
I watched a little bit of the game last. I did not see Nacho Man, but Addison Russell goes into the stands last night and gets, I guess, slathered would be the way to put it, in nacho cheese. And a Cardinals fan's holding the, he's worried about his girlfriend getting a concussion. He also lost his nachos, which the grounds crew had to come out onto the field and sweep the nachos off the warning track, which may have been my favorite part in watching the replay. Our guy, Luke, played first base last night.
See, I was going to bring that up. He hit a home run. Was that the perfect situation for him to hit a home run in? Hit a home run, in your opinion? Because I know you said, oh, well, I'm a Cubs fan, but I'll be rooting for you.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's
no.
He hits a home run. It's 10-2.
Yeah.
This is great.
Cubs score 8 runs
all
in the first.
All as well as in Todd's world.
Cubs score 8 runs in the first 3 innings, and the game is sort of in hand. I'll let him. And I joke when my wife is watching the games with me, too, depending on the situation, when Dexter Fowler is up, I'll say, I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I'll give Dexter one here, a solo shot. And then a couple nights ago, the last time, I think it was the series at Wrigley, he came up and there were a couple runners on, and it was like a 3-run ball game. And I was like, no, don't tie the game up here. I will root for you, but I will root for you to a point. And so, yes, there you go. Friend of the show, Luke Voit, playing first base for the Cardinals. Was that just a temporary thing last night, or are they still shuffling him?
Well, actually,
you never know with the way that they shuffle the rosters with the expansion.
He came in late in that game. That was a pinch hit opportunity, and then he played first base a little bit later.
Javier Baez out of the lineup tonight for the Cubs. He's got a little bit of knee soreness. That's not good, but the good news, John Lester didn't look awful last night. John Lester didn't look like an ace, but he pitched well enough, and then, of course, they spotted him 8 runs. His previous, 4 starts had been awful. And we talked with Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago last night, and the question was, who do we see? What type of John Lester do we see? Now, chatting with Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com, who joined us at 4:30 today, we're a little worried about facing the Washington Nationals, and they will run on John Lester. They will run all over him, Trey Turner and some of the other guys that are in that lineup. And that would be a really stiff test for the Cubs, who I am on record here saying they win the National League Central, and they have a very good chance of getting bounced in the divisional series if they play the Nationals.
Well, wasn't it asked earlier today? It was asked on the gym class, and I think it's an interesting question. Does the lack of any pennant races hurt or help Major League Baseball? It really wouldn't help, but does it hurt Major League Baseball? And I really don't think it does, because I think that it gets tuned out a lot this time of year regardless. And I'm talking about late August.
Oh, yeah.
To late September.
Yeah.
No matter whether there's a bunch of pennant races or not, because people start watching the NFL and college football, and then people start watching in October once the playoffs start. And these playoff matchups are going to make up for whatever lack of pennant races there were in Major League Baseball down the stretch.
Were it not for the wild card, everything would be all but decided right now.
Yes.
And I think, from that standpoint, I have never in my life on any sports topic done a bigger 180 than I have on the wild card. When that was introduced in the mid-90s, I hated the idea of the wild card. That's the regular season. Win your division. Wild card. And then the second wild card came along, and I go, okay, this is ridiculous. No. And now I'm to the point where, okay, I love the 2 wild cards. I want to see that a 3-game series. And I know there's no way that they can, because I think it's unfortunate that you play 162 games and everything comes down to 1 game. at least give the teams a fighting chance. But I have done a complete reversal on the wild card, because there are years like this one where it's the only thing keeping people's interest who are big baseball fans at this point. Without the wild card, you're just playing out the string, and then the postseason begins. Good news today for the Washington Nationals. Speaking of Dusty Baker's crew, Bryce Harper coming off the disabled list and rejoining the team in time for the postseason. I know there had been some speculation that Harper may not be ready to go. He may not be 100%, but they're activating him. And that, ooh, we are. If you're a baseball fan, it's hard not to get excited about the postseason, even though there's still a week left in the regular season. When you look at some of the matchups that we're going to get, and you talk about the Cubs and the Nationals, most likely in the National League, and then the Dodgers, who have won 100 games this year. And I give credit to John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye. I trolled him on Twitter with a picture of the Seattle Mariners celebrating their 116th win in 2001. The Mariners famously did not win the World Series that year. And his response, that's how many wins they'll have at the end of October. And that, good on you, thinking quickly on your feet there. But the Dodgers are going to face, most likely, either another team out of the National League West, a rival, or they're going to get the Brewers or the Cardinals. And if either one of those two teams, what, the Cardinals have, what, the third best record in baseball since August 1st, something like that? They haven't necessarily been playing terrible baseball except for when they play the Cubs. The Cubs have had their number this year. I just, all bets are off when that team gets into the postseason. Do I want to see it happen? Hell no.
I think, but you're safe there. I really do.
Bother me? They've got a long road. They need a lot of help at this point.
They got to win games too, and they've not been good against the NL Central, and their remaining games are against the Cubs and the Brewers.
Mike Matheny, if you're listening, more Voit. That's going to win you
That'll
more games.
That'll do it. And did you hear that he got the vote of confidence?
No.
He will be back, and I don't know why.
Friend of the show.
No, sorry. No. Mike Matheny got the vote of confidence from ownership.
I thought you said they were going to give Luke Voit first base.
No, I did.
Oh, well.
That hasn't been given.
You know what? Hey, I like that news even more.
For those that thought that Mike Matheny was going to get fired,
the vote of confidence.
He is not going anywhere, and he's not going anywhere for the foreseeable future.
Now, let me ask you this, and we've got to take a break here again and get our last big board update in, and maybe this is a better argument or a better conversation for tomorrow or later on this week. Matheny's coming back, but not everybody else is. They got to shake things up, right?
I would think so, but I think Gersh and Mozeliak are coming back. These are Bill DeWitt's handpicked guys. The question is, will they go out and do something? They have had all of this money over the past 3 years, and they haven't done anything to improve their baseball team.
I've got this. There's this bearded pitcher who plays in the division.
No,
I think
thank
they should
you.
Give him a big, huge contract this offseason.
I'm all right on that. But they have to do something. And I think they're going to get one last chance, one last offseason before major shakeups were to occur. If they go into next season with this team and think they're going to win, that's when you have to start thinking about making changes. And people give Matheny a lot of crap, but I don't know a lot of managers that could consistently win with this team.
My wife thinks Mike Matheny is like the most attractive man on the face of the earth.
Really?
And it drives me insane. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I won the battle tonight because we're watching the Cubs and the Cardinals, and then 3 innings into the game it dawns on me. She's not fighting over the remote tonight because she wants to watch Matheny. That greasy mullet sticking out from under his cap in the dugout. Just gross. Disgusting. I don't know. She also doesn't think Chris Bryant's attractive. And she married me. I have a ton of questions about her taste in men. 6:53, we will step aside and take our final break. We come back. Kyle Mann's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show on the way.
Is your power tool not working? Does your mower or chainsaw need maintenance? If you're having these issues with your power equipment or just need something tuned up, let the factory-trained technicians at Acme Tools fix the problem for you. We'll assess the issue and give you a free estimate to get it fixed. Mention this ad and we'll take 10% off your service work. For quality service work and parts, visit the Acme Tools Service Department and let us help you do your best work. Acme Tools on Blairs Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids.
Friday afternoon at 3, tune in to 106.3 FM for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym will be coming to you live from Solon before their matchup with Fort Madison. This is David Schulte, and I'll be your host alongside Gary Fickle. Count down to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard Friday afternoon at 3 on the gym.
Are you okay with that, sharing Gary Fickle with David on Fridays?
Well, it means that I can be at Coach's Corner for an hour and a half, so
okay.
We all have to make sacrifices.
All right, I just want to make sure because I didn't know whether that put a strain on the relationship or not.
No, we're all good.
What's your game this week?
Solon, they're taking on Fort Madison.
So, fool the Bloodhound Gang from Fort Madison.
Solon... I'm not going to get too in-depth on high school football now, but Solon is for real. They are a legitimate team.
Join us tomorrow on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show as Alex Kuhn gets way in-depth with high school football. It's going to be two of the six segments on the show tomorrow.
Is that right? A promise?
You know what? If you want to.
No, it's all right.
If you want to, we can even have Fick come into the studio. Denny, the whole gang. Just turn it over. How about that? And then I just occasionally step in and I say, guys, it's time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Let's take a quick timeout. Send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got it for you.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named the Big Ten Co-Defensive Player of the Week yesterday for his performance against Penn State last weekend and continued to garner recognition today as he was named the Chuck Bednarik Award Player of the Week, awarded to the nation's best defensive player, as well as the Bronco Nagurski National Defensive Player of the Week. Jewell tied a career high with 16 tackles, 11 of which were solo and 3 for a loss, along with an interception and fumble recovery. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell delivered some encouraging injury news as he reported that starting defensive backs Kamari Cotton-Moya and DeAndre Payne, as well as defensive lineman Jamal Johnson, have all made good progress over the Cyclones' bye week. The Cyclones play on Thursday this week, but all three players will be close to playing. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings were released today, and there weren't many surprises. West Des Moines Dowling stays at the top of Class 4A with Iowa City West 2nd, Cedar Falls 7th, and Cedar Rapids Prairie 10th. Cedar Rapids Xavier's number 1 in Class 3A, and Solon is 3rd. Williamsburg, the top-ranked team in Class 2A with Mount Vernon 3rd, and in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina is 3rd. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Minnesota Twins as they try to hold on to their wild card lead down the final stretch of the season. They've got Bartolo Colon on the mound facing Josh Tomlin and the Indians. They're tied at 2 in the top of the 3rd.
All right, that will do it on a Tuesday edition of the program. I know I took a peek at the board earlier, and we're not talking two segments worth of high school football.
We're talking to Gary and Tristan, though.
That's right. It is you know what? It's a typical Wednesday. Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, who also, like Iowa State, did not have a game last week. So we'll see what Gary has to say about Southern Illinois.
I've got a scouting report for him.
Okay, Alex has a scouting report. Memphis, did they kick their teeth in?
No, they didn't.
Did they beat him?
They beat him.
Okay.
They didn't.
Okay, they won.
They won.
Fantasy football questions answered with Tristan Cockcroft, his appearance sponsored by Imon Communications. Twins baseball in progress on 107.5 FM. We join it now. The rest of you, ESPN programming. Talk to you tomorrow.
There's no better time than right now to protect your family. So if you're like me and have been putting off getting term life insurance, you have to call SelectQuote. Here's the SelectQuote difference. Most companies give you one option, one policy, and one rate. But